The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Myers.
Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is the sponsor of today's outdoor show here locally. We always appreciate their sponsorship on Airway Drive. It's a quarter after seven, and we have Mr. Outdoors, who's actually in the outdoors in Klamath right now, getting set for another outdoor show. How you doing there, Mr. Outdoors? Greg Roberts?
I am far from in the outdoors. I am in my nice, warm motel room. I am drinking my Dutch Bros coffee. We had a band of snow go through here last night that when I went to bed about 11, No snow. Got up this morning at 6:15, and we have about 2 inches of snow already, and the expected forecast amount here for today was 2 to 3 inches of snow, and there is definitely more heavy precipitation moving onshore, so I think we're probably going to wind up seeing more than 2 to 3 inches of snow over here in Klamath by the time set is done.
All right. Now, is this kind of pattern going to hold out for a number of days? And, you know, because it's not totally unexpected or unusual for this time of year, but temps have been really below normal for a while, haven't they?
Yes, they have. And by the way, should add, there is low elevation snow falling out in Josephine County. Took a look at Cave Junction. It is snowing out there. It is snowing on Hayes Hill. It's basically snowing on Highway 199 from just west of Grants Pass. It doesn't appear the snow is in Grants Pass. I-5 headed northbound, you start seeing snow in Hugo. So all the quad passes between Grants Pass and Canyonville seeing snow this morning. I don't see chain requirements up for either highway yet, either 199 or I-5. But you're definitely going to encounter snow and slick conditions for sure.
Okay. All right. I had some grapple in my yard for a little while yesterday. And you were talking about that. I guess it was the spelling of grapple you were going over, right?
No, well, it was not so much the spelling. It was explaining what it is. And grapple, it's spelled G-R-A-U-P-E-L. It's a German word.
Yeah.
And what it comes down to is it's a pretty unique form of frozen precipitation. It starts off coming out of the sky as a snowflake, but it will encounter a warm layer. Water molecules glom onto that snowflake and change it from the nice, pretty little snowflake into basically what looks like styrofoam puffball.
Right, right. That's what we ended up with. I had just a little bit, and then it started melting. No big deal.
Yeah. And that's pretty typically what grapple is going to do. It never seems to accumulate much. The deepest accumulation of grapple that I have ever seen was 2 inches on Mount Bachelor, and this time of the year, in fact. I want to say that was probably 1986, March of 86, when we had that happen. And that doesn't typically develop that way. Pretty typically, it just whitens the ground up, and then the cell moves through, and then the sun pops back out, and it winds up melting away pretty quickly. Again, because it's falling in a warmer temperature situation than snow would, it's just it made it to the ground before it could make the transition and become rain.
Hey, this kind of weekend weather pattern that we're looking at here, Greg, is it a good time or maybe an off time to do a little fishing or doing some outdoor kind of work of some sort? What do you think?
Well, I think it's going to kind of depend on what your tolerance for colder conditions and then rain and snow is going to be, because we definitely, the snow threat is going to persist for the valleys west of the Cascades into tomorrow morning. Then we're going to see a shift as warmer air comes back in overnight Saturday into Sunday, where we're getting snow right now here in Klamath Falls. By Sunday, we definitely will be seeing rain here in town. I'm kind of happy about the forecast I'm seeing for Sunday right now, with snow levels bouncing back up to about 5,000 feet, because as it stands right now, I should be getting rain in the pass on 140 late in the day Sunday.
better travel.
Help with the travel.
Yeah, yeah.
Coming back.
How long is this going to hold up, and when do you think real spring ends up hitting the valley, huh?
Through Tuesday, our chances for snow in the valley go through Saturday morning. We transition into warmer air coming in. But the flip side is, and maybe the good news, that warmer air is going to coincide with a big surge of moisture coming in. So it's going to turn very rainy for Sunday, Monday into Tuesday, maybe Tuesday morning. We'll just have to see how quickly that system clears the area. We see improving conditions during the day Tuesday. Wednesday and Thursday look to be the break, and then right back into another major storm system coming in for next weekend.
Okay. What are you looking forward to in the outdoor program at Klamath this weekend? Anything different about this than the other ones you've been doing? Are you doing wolf? Or are you doing, you doing your thing?
That's kind of the nice part, especially for me, Mr. Announcer, at all these events. We keep it pretty much the exact same thing that if you saw the show in Medford, you know what we're doing over here in Klamath. We just don't make a lot of changes in the program of what we're doing within the show. Same type of things, lots of exhibitors for people to see what they have. Exact same speaker lineup, exact same sportsman's theater lineup. And then, of course, Wild Wolves of Yellowstone, which right now over here, especially considering what happened over in Lake County with OR 158, people are really getting their hackles up, believing that this is an attempt by pro-wolf people to, you know, somehow make good, PR for wolves. And the reality is these wolves are called the Wild Wolves of Yellowstone, not for the park, but for the TV show. This is probably...
Well, they're actors, in other words, right?
Exactly. This is as close as most people are ever going to get to actors who have appeared on the TV series Yellowstone and then the spinoffs 1883 and 1923. Every time you saw a wolf during one of those shows, quote-unquote wolf, you were looking at these three animals. And Coda, in particular, every time Casey Dutton is having... kind of that spirit journey, and he sees a lone wolf that appears to him at different times. It's Coda.
Oh, okay.
The animal that people are seeing at the show that you actually help people get up close and personal with.
Very cool then.
Yeah, I don't know how you get an autograph from Coda. I was telling that to somebody last night.
Maybe a paw print?
Kind of got to put his paw on a piece of paper and then do a quick outline with a pen and get somebody to write Coda.
Yeah, could you roll a little ink on it like they do at the gun stores, you know, that sort of thing?
Yeah, no, probably not. He probably wouldn't like that on his pads. But what we are doing, the people who win meet and greets, like exactly what you did in Medford, they're getting their photo opportunity with Coda, and I forget the name of the other animal right now off the top of my head. I mean, I definitely remember Coda, but it makes a really cool memory, and you set some people up for that, and we're doing the same thing over here.
All right, well, have a great weekend. We will catch you next week outside of the shows, that sort of thing, and we'll just keep up on it if anything really kind of goes crazy. But still, very wintry weekend still coming up really through Tuesday and then back to a bit more springtime. But
Like I said, we've got a shot for snow in the valley floors like we're seeing this morning in Josephine County. We've got that continuing through tomorrow morning in the valleys west of the Cascades, but it will definitely be winter storm conditions definitely from now out through some point on Tuesday morning. I do want to add, that said, the pick thing I absolutely would be doing this weekend.
What's that?
Headed up to Mount Ashland because conditions are just fantastic. It can't be any better. Oh, tonight's their last night of night skiing for this season.
All right. Very good. Appreciate the tip on that. And we will catch you next Friday. Okay, Greg? Thanks so much.
Yep. Sounds good, Bill.
All right. Greg Roberts, RogueWeather.com. We're always talking weather, talking about things to do, places to go, all right? Outdoor Report sponsored by Oregon Truck and Auto Authority on Airway Drive in Medford. 725. Keith, by the way, Keith Greer writes in, says, hey, Bill, large snowflakes falling at this moment in his neighborhood. So, yep, Greg, No doubt right about that. 25 after 7, the Hannity update's also on the way. We'll have a few more of your calls. Holly Morton will be joining the show. Patriots Conference is tomorrow starting at 9. We'll tell you more about that. We also have Joe Biden's stenographer. Joe Biden's stenographer, former stenographer here to dish a little bit. I'll be curious to hear what he has to say, along with your calls and opinion. All coming up.
When you choose a contractor, how do you know you're getting the best? Anyone can claim to be the area's top, but numbers don't lie. When you hire Clouser Drilling, you're getting a company that has 1 million feet, 4,600 wells, 54 years, and four generations drilling here in Josephine and Jackson County. Clouser Drilling has six licensed drillers and four modern drill rigs, giving customers confidence in one great product. The number's 541-476-7795. The name's Clouser. Contact Clouser Drilling today.
Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
If you have DirecTV or cable TV, call me today to see how I can save you money. Plus, I'll lower your internet and cell phone bills.
And those offers in the mail from Dish, you can go through No Wires Now for those.
Call me at 541-680-5875.
Call Charisse like I did or visit their showroom off Biddle Road in Medford, nowiresnow.com. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Internet and cell phone service not provided by Dish.
If you're considering a new garage door or opener for a new home or remodel, you can't go wrong with American Industrial Door. With their fleet of trucks and technicians in both Josephine and Jackson counties, they can come to you and provide recommendations and samples, or you can stop by their showroom and explore all of the amazing options. Do what so many other Southern Oregon homeowners have done for nearly 40 years. Trust American Industrial Door on Crater Lake Avenue, north of Vilas Road, and on Union Avenue in Grants Pass.
Your morning espresso starts right here.
You're waking up with the Bill Meyer Show.
Had a bit of a scare yesterday in my household. Not like a scare like it was life-threatening sort of thing. Not like the Uncle Pervy sort of things, which have been going on in the Central Point parks. I don't know if you've heard about that story. We'll have to talk a little bit more about that coming up. But I had a water main leak, I should say, and had a plumber come out. We did some leak detection the other day, found the leak, and then they came by yesterday to repair the leak. And so the licensed plumber comes out, walks over, and takes a look at it and says, "Oh, no. Oh, no. Polybutylene pipe." Now, I had never really heard of the polybutylene pipe problem, not being a plumber, and I try to avoid doing plumbing work when at all possible. But apparently, polybutylene pipe was very popular in the 1970s, 80s, was made through about 1996. A lot of times it was called gray pipe. He says, "Oh, no, it's gray pipe." Right? And it's all going like, "Oh, no, polybutylene pipe. What does that mean?" And he took me to the plumbing truck. And then he said, "Here's a piece of polybutylene pipe that we took out of this this other guy. It was underneath his house. And he was able to take it and just bend it a little bit, and it just cracked. It was very brittle, and it just cracked right away. And that was the problem. Polybutylene pipe was a nice, flexible pipe that was considered the standard of the day back in the 1970s and 80s and 90s. Of course, my house was built in 1986. It was discontinued in 1996, from what I understand. Because the shell company, and they ended up paying out a whole bunch of money. There was a class action lawsuit, all that kind of stuff. And it's been one of those things where sometimes it just lasts forever and ever. Amen. Life's good. And other times it's a big problem. And he said, "You know, I'll patch this line today, Bill. I'll patch this line, but you're going to need to replace your water line. It's just a matter of time." And of course, that's a lot of money. Right, so I'm thinking about this. I call up Steve Yancey. You know, he's my agent over at Sky Park. And I say, "Steve, this is what's going on. We're going to patch it, but he says we're going to, you know, probably have to replace it." And yeah, so Steve and I were going to talk about that. But the thing being, though, then the concern was, he said, "Do you know what kind of plumbing you have underneath your house?" Well, I've never crawled underneath my house. I've never done that. 1986 house. There are a lot of homes that were built with polybutylene pipe. He says, "If you got to replace that pipe," the plumber says, "that could be $15,000-$20,000. Whoa, that woke me up real quick, right? You know, especially if you have to do this. So what do I do? Okay, well, not going to crawl under the house to do that because I just don't do that kind of stuff. That's not my thing. Besides, it's a narrow, It's a narrow crawl space. So anyway, just so happened, though, and so this is the good news out of the whole thing. I ended up finding my old home inspection report that I had saved in my files, my computer files from years ago, back 2016 when we moved over to Viewpoint out of from Jacksonville. Remember that story then? And I'm going through it. Okay, so did he say anything about the plumbing? He says, well, I'm underneath here and looking here, and we're looking at copper plumbing. And so it's kind of, I kind of go, all right. But he did mention the service line. He said the service line, it is not visible. So he wasn't able to see the service line. So if he couldn't see the service line, he couldn't report on it. So the service line is the bad pipe. And so, yeah, I guess we'll have to get that repeated or repaired, rather. And that'll be, yeah, $2,000-$3,000 probably or something. But it's insured. And I have that insured. That's taken care of. Yeah, there's a deductible and all that sort of stuff. So it's like, man, I never realized that that PB pipe was such a big deal. And then I started looking more into it because I never had a house that had any of that. And so they're just going, and people have just had to spend tens of thousands of dollars because the stuff ends up cracking. And I guess it's apparently the chlorine in the municipal water supplies that would tend to decay that pipe. That's how it was described to me and what other stories I was looking at. And everyone was using it, and it was the best pipe in the world, you know, all that kind of stuff at the time. And now I guess it's been supplanted. Everyone's using PEX pipe these days. Pretty flexible stuff, but, you know, we'll see. So that's what happened to me. Going to get it repaired. Kind of had, that's like I said, when I was thinking about $15,000 to $20,000 or more, then I'm going like, thinking, wait a minute, the home inspector wouldn't have let us do something like that, would he? And no, he didn't. Said it was fine. Good. Copper, good. Copper's expensive, though. Someone tells me on Facebook last night, hey, you shouldn't have said you have pop. You shouldn't be telling them you have copper piping underneath the house. We'll have the tweakers, you know, coming out. I think I'd probably hear them from underneath the foundation, but I appreciate the tip, all right? All right. That does bring me, though, if you're looking for a great guy to help you out in your insurance world, that would be Steve Yancey at Sky Parks. Steve and I were talking about this, and he says, well, this is what you might want to do. This one. He's going to take care of all those problems with the main line. No big deal there. And so that's pretty darn cool, and he helps people not only deal with those kind of problems when you have to make the claim, but also help you save money when you get those renewals and things may not look quite right for you or finding you better deals. That's what he does. He's an independent. Sky Park Insurance at, in Medford, 261-5444, 261-5444. And also having joined the team recently, if you have just turned 65, getting ready to go into Medicare, you want to talk to Lynn Barton. Her number, 499-0958, 499-0958. They'll both help you out on the Medicare Advantage plans. Steve on the other lines of insurance. It's all there. It's all good. SkyParkINS.com.
At Sky Park, we make insurance easy.
News brought to you by Millett Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. Get on solid ground. Visit MilletteConstruction.com.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. Joe O'Leary.
Free. ZipRecruiter.com/free. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
Hi, I'm Amber Rose with Siskiyou Pump Service, and I'm on KMED.
Hey, Dave, I was talking about insurance a moment ago. And you were bringing up something kind of interesting. You were looking for a better deal. What was the story?
Well, here I was furiously trying to find 10-round magazines, and I heard you. Talking about insurance, and I think we all know what's going on in Southern California now with the insurance, homeowners insurance down there. So, look, my wife looks for better deals on insurance, and besides our RV and our car, we just insure our house. And she was out there shopping, and there are several large insurers now who will not write homeowners insurance in our area. And we live in Eagle Point, so it's not like we live out in the,
Yeah, are you out? Are you in the? Are you in the city, or are you just outside of it, over in the wooey?
No, we're in the city. We're in the city.
Yeah.
So the bottom line is they, because of the fire risk, there are large insurers here not writing homeowners insurance because of that fire risk. And it's kind of like shades of what we're seeing now in Southern California. So I don't know. You might want to ask your insurance guy
kind of what he thinks of that or what he's seeing with that. But, I mean, don't get me wrong. We still have our homeowner's insurance.
Yeah, but it's definitely more challenging. I did talk with it. Now, you'll be happy to know, Dave, I did talk to him about that yesterday because a lot of people have been forwarding kind of stories of what you're talking about. And he said that the business was very tight for a while. Right. In other words, trying to get the insurance companies that would insure Southern Oregon or Oregonians, you know, in the for this because of wildfire risk. He says, though, that there are some companies that are starting, it's starting to loosen up a little bit. So it may be kind of like the egg scare, you know, it's been going on. That everybody clamped down right away. It was really tough, and now it's starting to bit by bit loosen up. And he's guardedly optimistic that we're starting to see some loosening on the desire of a lot of these companies to start insuring homes around here again. Not all of them, but it is. He did notice that there's a softening of that now. Okay.
Well, I was just I was a little surprised, and then you know you go back and you think of our ridiculous fire policies. You know, in this state, in the West in general, and other parts of the country. And then, you know, this something like this pops up and you're like, you know, it's like a ripple on a pond.
Yeah, it brings it home.
It's like, well, what could be next?
Yeah.
So, anyway.
I appreciate the call, Dave, and good luck with that. But, yeah, talk with any of the other great agents and put them to work for you. You know, that kind of thing. All right? And you're right. A lot of times if you just put your address in, nope, we're not going to write you. And there are some companies that definitely will not write and probably companies that have suffered big losses here. They're just saying, hey, they got to cut their losses, I guess. We go to Holly Morton. Holly Morton, Josephine County GOP party chair. How you doing, Holly? Welcome. Getting set for the big Patriots conference tomorrow?
Oh, yeah. And it's snowing over here. Have you got snow in Medford?
Not here by the airport. Still pretty clear at the moment, but we just had some mist and things like that going on. So, all right. Well, I don't think it's going to stop people from attending tomorrow. It's going to be good.
I hope not. We got about an inch on the ground. We're setting up today, so we're praying that it clears up quickly.
Yep, it probably will, even though it's good to know, though, that Greg was right. He said, boy, Joe County was getting it. So, yeah, Jackson, we're not seeing much of it yet. That doesn't mean we won't. So what about, you know, tell us the lineup. I'll be kicking things off there at 10 o'clock tomorrow. I'm going to be talking more or less how I see Oregon looking, in my opinion, as the Trump administration policies and effects. And by the way, there are going to be positive and challenging effects, I think, of the Trump administration here, because in some ways, returning the power to the states, well, right?
Yeah, and here we are in Oregon.
Yeah, you know. But that, of course, we may have no choice but to be encouraged to go more the way of the Greater Idaho Project over time, just out of self-defense. I don't know, but we'll have a good conversation about that tomorrow, I think. I'll say some words about that. But you got a lot of other people that are showing up there, too, including Karen Engel.
We're going to try to, just because of this Second Amendment issues, I talked to Kevin Stira this morning. We're going to try to zoom him in at the end of your conversation.
Oh, that is great because, I mean, nobody knows more about this situation with Measure 114 and various others. You get him in, that's solid. I'm glad to hear that.
So we're trying to work that out, just a little schedule change. And then at 10:45, we'll have Dr. Robert Marbot in. He's a guy who's concerned about the fentanyl issue. He's pretty much considered to be the expert in this fentanyl problem that we have, and he's an advisor to President Trump, and he'll also be talking about homelessness. It's a huge issue, and you know that drugs and homelessness are linked. We all know that. And so hopefully he's going to walk us through the kinds of things we can do. You know, he's have compassion for the homeless, but real compassion is getting them cleaned up. Real compassion is not leaving them in the streets and enabling them to have that miserable life, losing their teeth and all the things.
Oh, yeah, and I agree. I've talked with Dr. Robert Marbot. He's a great, great man and has studied this so deeply. And he's been a big critic of the Obama administration, former Obama administration's Housing First. And we've been living under Housing First for a long time, that somehow to solve the homelessness problem is that you just give everybody a house, right? You know, it's
right.
And the thing is, the problem with it is that you're drug addicted or a serious alcoholic, you're not going to be taking care of it. And you're still not functioning and you're still having big, big problems. And, you know, it's...
Well, you give them a house, they're going to sell the sink to buy drugs.
Yeah. Well, gosh, I hope they don't, but...
It's a huge problem. You know, it's a tremendous illness, and it's got to be dealt with. So he's a specialist in that. We brought him in at a significant expense just to make him available to the general public so we know what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Now then, who else do you have coming in here? Just go ahead and give us the cavalcade of stars.
Yeah. I'll give you the lineup. So
all
after Robert started, we're going to have the local leaders. So Noah Robinson, Dwayne Yunker, Alex Carlatos, the legislators, and then we'll have the local leaders, the mayor of Grants Pass, and Victoria Marshall, who's the president of the council, and they'll be available. And they'll be available throughout the day to talk to people. So, but they will get up and speak over lunch between 12 o'clock and 1:15. And then we're going to have Steve Jonkis, Fighting Tyranny for Oregon. He's the attorney. He handles tons of cases, constitutional issues in Oregon, and he's finding that he's the number one client base seems to be in Grants Pass, Oregon. So
is it just me, or is everybody suing each other in Grants Pass? It just feels that way sometimes.
Right now it just feels like there's such tremendous controversy all the way over. There's a lot of lawsuits going on. I think in John West's case, I think he should be suing. You know, basically he got recalled under false pretenses, in my opinion, and that's a criminal offense. So that's being dealt with. We'll see how that all works out. The judge will make that decision. But so those lawsuits are going around. And yes, the library, the people that have the library here, really they're kind of playing games in a certain way, because the library now pays $1 a month or $1 a year or something to use a facility.
Mm-hmm.
And our county is a very poor county.
Yeah, Josephine County's broke. Herman was telling about that even when he was still a county commissioner. Herman, you know, it's broke. And you're going to have to charge some kind of and get some kind of market rate or more reasonable, even if it's a little under market. But, idea of giving a free building to the library, it just can't happen. You can't give a free building to everyone these days.
Well, and they've had grants and things. They've got $900,000 in the bank. So, you know, they're doing okay. They can afford to pay. But they're demonstrating. They're out in front of Ann Basker yesterday demonstrating. And it, to me, it's just an embarrassment to them. You know, what they should do is just come to the table and say, how can we all work together? This is our community. Let's work together and see what we can come up with. But no, they're just trying to make it look like the commissioners are the bad guys and the citizens are unfair. And you know, that kind of thing, yes, in Grants Pass, that's embarrassing.
Yeah, well, give us the rest of the afternoon deal after Yonkis. Yonkis is an interesting cat, that's for sure.
He is
no doubt.
Interesting. He's terrific. Then we're going to have Karen England, and she's parental rights in the schools. The kitchen table, you remember the kitchen table?
In fact, that's her website, the Kitchen Table Activist.
Right. She was a mom, and she started looking at what's going on in the schools, and basically got out of a recliner and got busy fighting it. And now we're bringing her over here to help us figure out what to do. Because, you know, we fight against the state. We fight against the districts. The school board has their hands full. And hopefully she can come and give us some ideas.
Yeah, and honestly, the thing to ask her is about how, Oregon has essentially eviscerated the power of the school boards. You know, there are so many things that are just dancing to the tune of the hard left woke Oregon Department of Education, and you're not going to have the federal Department of Education micromanaging ODE much longer. And so it's there are going to be some interesting times here, you know, for people like Karen. You know, how do you get back control of a state that says that it takes a village and you're forced to put your kid in our village, our woke village? By the way,
right?
Have you heard about transgenderism? Have you thought about going trans today? Here, we'll help you. Yeah,
really.
I know I'm being engaging a little flippant, but
purple shirt on, maybe you're trans.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
all right.
Pretty crazy.
So
and, you know, if you don't come for the speakers, come for the silent auction items. I got a chance to look at those yesterday. We've got fabulous, fabulous things that are going to be auctioned there, and I would go just for that. But we do have fabulous speakers. We've got Nathan French is coming in. He's a minister. He has a ministry out of Seattle. And he's going to talk about a new beginning for our nation. So he's going to talk about the spiritual side of things, is how we can all pull together and get ourselves focused on success, focused on moving forward towards success in the nation. Because, you know, it's hard. What we're experiencing in Oregon is really tough. It's demoralizing in many ways. And we need to find spiritual ways to deal with the amount of stress and move forward positively.
You know, I was thinking about drinking heavily. He probably has a better idea. All right.
It feels like that sometimes. Yep. So it's going to be great. The conference will close about 4 o'clock. And then we, you know, we'll have some after events and things like that. But it is going to be a great day. We're hoping that we get an excellent turnout. The snow has got me kind of puzzled, but see how that works.
I don't think it's going to get in the way. I don't think it's going to be a problem tomorrow. I'll catch you tomorrow, okay? We'll see you then, Holly.
Right.
And
we'll
now at this point, what? Just show up at the door, right?
I would show up at the door, yeah. I would get there, you know, if people get there, you know, 8:30, 9 o'clock. I'm going to work on making sure that people can get in the door and out of the weather, you know, so they're not standing in a line.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I would get there about 8:30. And then between 9 and 10, you have time to just go around and check out the various speakers' tables, talk to them, and then you'll get to hear the individual speakers get up and perform, so to speak.
All right. Very good. Hey, Holly, catch you tomorrow. Looking forward. And a good fundraiser you have, Patriots Conference, for tomorrow for the Josephine County Republican Party. Okay? Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. See you tomorrow, Bill.
All right. 751 KMED and 99.3 KBXG on the Bill Myers Show.
Did you know that Siskiyou Pump Service does much more than service pumps? In addition to providing pump installation and repair, Siskiyou Pump installs water systems and storage tanks, water filtration systems, plus conducts real estate well inspections and flow testing. And with their drilling division, they can consult and drill your well too. At Siskiyou Pump Service and Rotary Drilling Company, you can have one company manage your water project from start to finish. Serving the Rogue Valley for over 50 years, visit SiskiyouPump.com.
If your home computer has issues, call Tech Nomad. Tech Nomad is your locally owned and operated computer repair and tech support. They help with annual diagnostics, tune-ups, software updates, removing viruses, installing antivirus, upgrading hard drives, and more. Tech Nomad offers remote diagnostics by phone, pickup and drop-off, or in-home service. Phishing scams are sophisticated, so an innocent click may be damaging your computer performance or compromising your privacy. Call your IT department, Tech Nomad. Visit mytechnomad.com.
One of each, K4 VIN 016551, MSRP 24145, Telluride VIN 615524, MSRP 4270, 5699, due 10K miles per year, zero security deposit, all incentives and discounts to dealer, plus tax, title, license, 150 registration, processing fee, trading in a vehicle will not eliminate your debt. Negative equity applied to new loan balance ends 3/31/25.
Get up and go to Kia Medford, where payments are down to just $159 a month. Save on our huge selection of new Kias, like the all-new 2025 Kia K4 LXS. Only $159 a month lease, or a new 2025 Kia Telluride S, now $239 a month lease, both for 24 months. Plus, once we make a deal at Kia Medford, we'll pay off your trade no matter how much you owe. Need credit? Go to KiaMedford.com to get pre-approved in less than 30 seconds with no effect on your credit score. Don't miss K4's $159 a month or Telluride's $239. Get up and go to Kia Medford. Click KiaMedford.com.
They are stealing your taxpayer dollars.
Democrats mobilized against Doge.
When we fight, we win. When we fight,
justified
we
resistance.
Here's our message to Speaker Johnson and President Musk. Enough is enough.
Or misguided defiance.
Our country is in serious trouble.
We either solve the deficit or all we'll be doing is paying debt.
He's helping us to save our country.
America will go bankrupt if this is not done. That's why I'm here.
Join the debate.
It's got to be solved. It's not optional.
On News Talk 106.3. KMED.
You're hearing the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED. Now Bill wants to hear from you. 541-770-5633. That's 770-KMED.
Steve writes in, snowing in Medford at the 1,500-foot wild salmon. I appreciate you weighing in. Peg and a few other people also writing me this morning, and they were asking about, hey, Bill, did I miss something? Will you not be talking with Rick Manning on Fridays any longer? Peg and other people asking about this, too, because I did say that this was going to be the last D.C. Swamp update for a while. And it's like, yeah, because Rick has been offered a gig to join the administration for a little while. I'm not going to say in what capacity, maybe till Monday after it happens. And because of that, he will be able to talk with me occasionally regarding what he does in his particular department during the Trump administration. I don't know how long this position will be, but he has been in the Labor Department before. So he was in the Labor Department for a number of years. I think it was under George W. Bush. And so being brought back to do some additional good work, hopefully. And so that's where he'll be. And because of that, he won't be able to just sit around and completely. Well, you know what happens if you're going to go to work for the Trump administration, then you can't just sit around and shoot your opinion off with me every Friday about everything that you think is right and or wrong, as the case might be. I think you get that, right? So that is what is going on. I'll give you more of the details as soon as I find out more of the details. So that's why. That's why. Nothing wrong. He's not in trouble. Nothing like that. But one way or the other, that's the story. And I've just really appreciated him. And he says that he's also appreciated coming on here because so often when Rick would go on other shows, you go on Fox News, you go on CNN or whatever the case might be, and everything is in like about a 15-second soundbite, and you really can't explore the real things going on and really flesh out some of the issues. And that's what I've enjoyed most about talking with Rick. But one way or the other, we'll take him back whenever he's available, and maybe we'll find someone with a similar bent for the time being. I like the D.C. Swamp updates. Maybe we'll just have somebody else do it for a while. Okay. It's 7:56. Hey, wanted to touch in on something I had just mentioned a little bit earlier. It was in the Rogue Valley Times. It is an important story, I think. Central Point police have trespassed a man from the park after all sorts of weird, creepy behavior going on. He technically hasn't broken any laws yet, but Central Point Police Chief Scott Logue confirming numerous reports about this man. He didn't describe the man because he hasn't been charged with a crime, but said the man was recently trespassed from Flanagan Park for 30 days. He was doing things like he would approach women. And by the way, he's being described by some of the victims, described as being in his mid-30s and being of average height, dark hair, and a strong accent. But of course, we're not allowed to tell you what kind of strong accent it might have been because, well, I don't know, for whatever reason. But a Central Point resident said she and her sister lived near the park, multiple encounters with this guy starting a couple of weeks ago, and he was asking personal questions about where I work, where I live, got weird pretty quick. And a week later, the sister's family at the park when the man approached the kids, the 8-year-old daughter, 5-year-old niece, 2-year-old nephew, asking where they lived. And he left the park to then follow another teenage girl, but then came back a few minutes later. 3 police officers arrived at the park. They talked with him, so he's been trespassed off of this. And it's a certainly disturbing behavior. And the question I was posing for you, and I mean this in all seriousness, isn't this something that that men of Central Point should be taking care of? Kind of men just go in there, and we already have a Josephine County Park Watch. Is it time for a Central Point Park Watch, maybe, to patrol to make sure that Uncle Creepy Pervy, whoever he happens to be, is not going to cause any problems, and maybe he'll just go away? I don't know. How would you handle this? The problem with hoping that police are going to take care of something like this is that police tend to be reactive. It's usually, they're not able to prevent every crime from occurring. You can't help but think that there is potential here, great potential. And then afterwards, it's like, well, we couldn't do anything because he hasn't broken any laws yet. There's nothing against being creepy, apparently, and asking creepy, inappropriate personal questions of 7, 8, and 12-year-olds, that kind of thing. Although we know there's a problem here. How do you think we ought to handle that? I think it'd be something worthy of conversation. Josephine County has had a park watch there trying to deal with the problematic homeless and how they've been messing with their parks. Do we have to handle something like this in our own park? Should we sit around and just wait for the police to take care of it? They got lots of other things. No police department is heavily filled with officers ready to jump at every time someone's being a creep someplace. How would you handle it? How should the community handle it? We can talk about that and more. 770-563-3770-KMED. Now, coming up here after news, we're also going to be digging into an interesting conversation with Joe Biden's former stenographer. 6 years 6 years this guy had to sit around and listen to every bleating that that Jolton Joe had to say. Wonder if he has any interesting stories. I'll bet he does. He'll join me in about 10.
Matt here with the Josephine County Republican Party. It's time for Patriots to unite.